Jai Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Today we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 9, Madhyalila, Chapter 9, Lord Chaitanya's Travels to the Holy Places, text number 132. Nayam sukapho bhagavan, dehinam gopika sutha, janinam chatma bhutanam, yatha bhakti matam niha, nayam sukapho bhagavan, dehinam gopika sutha, jnaninam chatma bhutanam yata bhakti matam niha. Nayam sukapho bhagavan dehinam gopika sutha jnaninam chatma bhutanam yata bhakti matamiha. Nayam sukapho bhagavan jenam gopika sutaha jnaninam chatma bhutanam yata bhakti matamiha. Nayam sukapho bhagavan dehinam gopika sutha jnaninam chatma bhutanam yata bhakti matamiha. Ladies. Nayam sukapho bhagavan jenam gopika sutha jnaninam chatma bhutanam yata bhakti matamiha. Na, not, I am this Lord Sri Krishna. Sukha apaha, easily available. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dehinam, for materialistic persons who have accepted the body as the self. Gopika Sutaha, the son of Mother Yasoda. Jnaninam, for persons addicted to mental speculation. Cha, and Atma Bhutanam, for persons performing severe austerities and penances. Yata, as Bhakti Matam, for persons engaged in spontaneous devotional service. Iha, in this world. Translation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then quoted, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yasoda, is accessible to those devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or those who consider the body to be the same as the self." Please repeat. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then quoted, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yasoda, is accessible to those devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, But he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body to be the same as the self. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse is also given in Madhya Lila 8:22-227, is quoted from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10:9:21. Om Agyanatme Randasya Ginandana Sarakaya Chakshurun Militam Gena Tasmai Sri Garave Namaha Hari Vibhu Sri Swa. Welcome. Nice to see you. We're continuing the conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkata Bhatt. And as you see from the purport, this was also quoted in Madhya Lila chapter 8, which was the previous chapter, where Lord Chaitanya was discussing with Ramananda Rai. Just as the conversation with Ramananda Rai is famous for being a progressive overview of Krishna consciousness, of the Krishna conscious experience, of the Vedic philosophy in Krishna consciousness, where they start, he asked Ramananda Roy, what is the goal of life? And Ramananda Roy started and then progressed by Lord Chaitanya's inspiration and questioning to higher and higher realms of that goal and experiences and expressions of it. Sometimes that progression is compared with cooking sugarcane juice. When sugarcane juice, when you first crush it, it's a tasty liquid, sweet. But when you begin to cook it, it gets thicker and sweeter the more you cook it and cook it. And the hotter and longer you keep it in the pot, the thicker and the thicker and the sweeter it gets. So it's like molasses. And then finally, like a lozenger, it can even crystallize. So similarly, what we're experiencing in this particular conversation is rather than an overview, which kind of cooks the whole pot of sugarcane juice, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in this particular narrative, is using the characters of Lord Chaitanya and Venkata Bhatt and their conversation to enter into one part of that pot. Sometimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada gave that example in the introduction that it's like a bag of sugar. No matter where you taste it, it's sweet. But what happens is that just like that sugarcane juice goes from a real liquidy sort of sweet to a real thick, very sweet, there's progression, there's a difference. Especially if you follow the trail. In material energy, you can just get the lozenger and not have to go through the process of cooking the sugar. You just buy the sugar. You don't have to start from the sugarcane juice. But you miss the gradual experience and taste along the way, let's put it. So in this conversation, we've been reading week after week how Lord Chaitanya is directing Venkata Bhatta's attention, consciousness, and instructing him about why Lakshmi Devi couldn't enter the rasa dance. And he's progressing on that slowly. There's a buildup, there's philosophy, there's rasa, there's sentiments of the heart which are being expressed and described through the narrative. And this verse, and what he does is, we've discussed this before in Vedic culture, a person will speak something, make a point, and then quote a verse from Shastra, which is the ultimate evidence to prove the point. So throughout this section, we've had four or five different verses The first one was the prayers by the Nagapattinis that how is it that this Kaliya serpent is getting the nectar of Krishna's the dust from his lotus feet when even the goddess of fortune couldn't get it? And that was the first verse showing that she couldn't get it. And then there was the one that we spoke on, that I spoke on last time I gave class, about the personified Vedas, how they attained the intimate association of the Supreme Personality of God, but Lakshmi even couldn't do it. So there was another one. So now in this one, it's being described again. Keshava, can you put that progression on? Normally, I don't like to do this because it goes ahead a little bit, but this verse is so important that five verses ahead, it's also explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu why it's included. So I'm going to read texts 132 to 137, just the English, so we can kind of follow what he's saying. Again, today's verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yasoda, is accessible to those devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body to be the same as the self. The authorities of Vedic literatures, known as the Shruti Gana, worshipped Lord Krishna in the ecstasy of the gopis and followed in their footsteps. The personified authorities of Vedic hymns acquired bodies like those of the gopis and took birth in Brajabhumi. In those bodies, they were allowed to enter into the Lord's Rasa Lila dance. Lord Krishna belongs to the cowherd community, and the gopis are dearmost lovers of Krishna. Although the wives of the denizens of the heavenly planets are most opulent within the material world, neither they nor any other women in the material universe can acquire Krishna's association. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, wanted to enjoy Krishna and at the same time retain her spiritual body in the form of Lakshmi. However, she did not follow in the footsteps of the gopis in her worship of Krishna. And then this verse, which explains what I'm speaking about. Vyasadeva, the supreme authority of Vedic literature, composed a verse beginning with Nayam Sukapho Bhagavan, because no one can enter into the rasa dance in any body other than the bodies of the gopis. So this verse, Nayam Sukapho Bhagavan, is so important. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining that Vyasadeva has used this verse to show that you can't enter into the rasa dance without attaining a body of a gopi. Now, to cook this topic from this point to sweeter and sweeter, we're going to use three different stories. Two of them are personal experiences, and one is Srila Prabhupada's, because today is the 49th anniversary of the incorporation of ISKCON. And we have a nice lecture tape, if everything works, technology, where he's expressing how his life's pattern turned into sharing that with the world. Our life experiences are kind of like weaving. What we go through on a day-to-day basis, month-to-month, year-to-year, bringing up our families, doing whatever, studying this, doing whatever it is we do, is almost like a pattern. It creates a pattern of life, like a weaver. Some of these women have the most beautiful saris, especially in Orissa, since we live there. It's amazing, some of the patterns. They have the Gita Govinda, which is a poem by Jayadev Goswami. These people sit and geometrically design the threads on the loom so that when they make a sari, it comes out with the verses of Gita Govinda in the sari. So each one of our lives is kind of like that. It's the fabric of our existence creates a pattern, and that pattern propels us. You do it in one life and you go to the next body. You do it in another life and you go to your next body. Well, ultimately, we cultivate a spiritual body and go to our eternal abode. That person, that nature, is inherent within everyone. Mamaivam sa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana marnaksa stan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. That every living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna. And there's an inherent nature in each one of them, just like there's an inherent quality of something in a seed. If you have an avocado seed, a lot of us have experienced where you take the avocado, put a couple toothpicks in it, stick it in a glass with some water, and gradually what happens? The what's inside, the avocado nature, starts to come out. Now, if we take that avocado, once it starts to sprout and gets a little stronger, and we plant it in a mango grove or a coconut grove and let it grow, because it's in the association of coconuts or mangoes, will the coconut ever become a mango or a coconut? Will the avocado ever become another entity? No, it's who it is, Sanatan Dharma. It's eternally that person, and what this process of Krishna consciousness does, it awakens that. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabo Nai. Sadhya Kabo Nai means it doesn't come from someplace else. Shravanada Sudachite Koraya Udoi. It awakens by hearing. And what we hear and who we associate with helps germinate and express that. So here's my first story. Years ago in New Vrindavan, they started in the fall, and they produced something called jar cakes. What they did was they actually baked cakes in those ball jars that people use for canning with the rubber on the top, so that once you cook it, when it's hot, if you put a top on it, when it cools, it creates a vacuum so that the product inside the jar stays fresh. And they put a real fancy label on it and tried to sell that in the malls at Christmas time. Didn't work out as expected, so there was a whole bunch left over. We bought them real cheap. And I grew up on Cape Cod, which is in Massachusetts, and off the coast of Cape Cod, there's two islands, Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard, which are kind of upscale tourist spots. So we got a cart, a kiosk on the street in Martha's Vineyard, and we had these jar cakes, but we wanted to make them more attractive for the upscale tourists. So what we did was we got some non-alcoholic wine and made a nice cardboard box with a stamp of Martha's Vineyard Island on it and packaged the jar cake and the wine together. So it's kind of a high class, but it was non-alcoholic, and that's where I'm going with this particular story. Because I had to learn what is non-alcoholic wine and how they make it. And what they do is, this is quite scientific, they actually have molecularly studied the makeup of wine, and the molecule of alcohol is slightly bigger than the molecule of the non-alcoholic. So they've produced and manufactured a mesh which the molecules of non-alcohol can go through, but the molecules which are a little bigger of alcohol can't go through. Almost like coffee grounds or lemonade. If you're going to make a lemonade, you know, the seeds and the pulp don't go through, but the juice goes through. But this is on the molecular level, and that's why I'm using the example. Because in this analogy, what we're talking about is who can enter that intimate place with Krishna. What mesh is going to stop that sentiment from traveling to Goloka Vrindavan? In this particular verse, can you go up to the Sanskrit for our verse today? Gopika Sutta. Gopika Sutta means it's a particular form of the Lord. It's a son of a gopi. It's the son of Mother Yasoda. And we know from our Gaudiya Vaishnava literature, and especially the pastime with Rupa Goswami and his writing his books, he started to write a book of Krishna's pastimes. And when he was traveling from Vrindavan to Puri, one night Satyabhama came to him in a dream and explained to him, write a separate drama about me. Don't write about me with all this Vrindavan. Write a separate drama about me. When he arrived in Puri and was writing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu verified that by explaining to him, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. That form of a cowherd boy The Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, is the original candle, the original form of the Lord. And he has qualities and characteristics that are unlike, unexhibited in all his other expansions, from Balaram to the Tatravyuha, to Mahavishnu, to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Shirodakshaya Vishnu. None of the other expansions have some of those same qualities that he has. So here we're entering into the qualities, the sentiments, the heartfelt fibers of love for a particular form of the Lord. Now Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, in the Vaikuntha planets, the eternal consort of the Supreme Lord Narayan, is performing austerities. She wants to go to the Rasa dance, and she can't. She's not being accepted. It's a quandary, a question. Why? And we think we're qualified. We're headed there, right? It's kind of an odd quandary. Fortunately, although Srila Prabhupada didn't compose a purport here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he did make a purport to this verse, Nayam Sukapo Bhagavan, because it comes from the 10th canto in the chapter with Mother Yasoda binding Lord Krishna. It's 10.9.21. If we can get it up there, and I'll start reading the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Mother Yasoda, is very easily obtainable to devotees, but not to tapasvis, yogis, jnanis, and others who are in the bodily concept of life. Although they may sometimes be called Shanta Bhaktis, real bhakti begins with Dasya Rasa. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ye yatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham mama manu vartante manusya partasarvasya. All living entities surrender unto me. I reward them accordingly. As the living entities surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. Everyone is seeking Krishna, for he is the supersoul of all individual souls. Everyone loves his body and wants to protect it because he is within the body as the soul. And everyone loves the soul because the soul is part and parcel of the supersoul. Therefore, everyone is actually seeking to achieve happiness by reviving his relationship with the supersoul. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedaischa sarvaraham eva vedya. By all the Vedas, it is I who am to be known. Therefore, the karmis, jnanis, yogis, and saintly persons are all seeking Krishna. But by following in the footsteps of devotees who are in a direct relationship with Krishna, especially the inhabitants of Vrindavan, one can reach that supreme position of associating with Krishna. As it is said, Vrindavanam prityaja padamekam nagacchati. Krishna does not leave Vrindavan, even for a moment. The Vrindavan basis, Mother Yasoda, Krishna's friends, and Krishna's conjugal lovers, the younger gopis with whom he dances, have very intimate relationships with Krishna. And if one follows in the footsteps of these devotees, Krishna is available. Although the Nitya Siddha expansions of Krishna always remain with Krishna, if those engaged in Sadhana Siddhi follow in the footsteps of Krishna's Nitya Siddha associates, such Sadhana Siddhas can also easily attain Krishna without difficulty. But there are those who are attached to the bodily concepts of life. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, for example, have very prestigious positions, and thus they have the sense of being very exalted Isvaras. In other words, because Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are guna avatars and have exalted positions, they have some small sense of being like Krishna. But the pure devotees who inhabit Vrindavan do not possess any bodily conception. They are fully dedicated to the service of the Lord in sublime affection, prema. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore recommended prema pumarto mahan. The highest perfection of life is prema, pure love in relationship with Krishna. And Mother Yasoda appears to be the topmost of devotees who have attained this perfection. So again, using our example of the mesh and our sentiments, Chaito Darpana Marjanam, cleaning the heart through chanting, through bhakti, through association, is meant to help cultivate that proper sentiment to purify us so we become pure and can go through the mesh that stops the living entities and from entering that abode. And Brahma Samhita is a real nice description of Goloka Vrindavan and its surrounding atmosphere. And in the surrounding atmosphere of Goloka Vrindavan, there are 10 tridents situated all the way around, north, south, east, west, southeast, northeast, northwest, southwest, all that. Here it's described what they do. There are 10 tridents in 10 directions to prevent and disappoint those who are aspirants for having an entrance into Goloka through meditations without the grace of Krishna. Self-conceited people who try to reach this region through the paths of yoga and jnana are baffled in their attempts, being pierced by these 10 tridents. Self-annihilation has its excellence in Brahmandam, the Brahmajyoti, which represents the outside covering of Goloka in the shape of tridents. Shula means trident. The mundane threefold attributes and the threefold divisions of time represent this trident. Astanga yogis, ascetics who practice the eightfold yoga and are the non-differentiated liberationists who, trying to approach the direction of Goloka, fall headlong into the pits of disappointment, being pierced and cut asunder by these tridents placed in the 10 directions. Those who proceed toward the direction of Goloka through the channel of devotion, alloyed with majestic ideas, are fascinated with the charms of Vaikuntha, which is the outer covering of the plain of Goloka at the site of the eight perfections. Those who are less forward in their intelligence relapse to the sevenfold world, falling under the control of the 10 protectors in the guise of mantras. In this wise, Goloka has become unknowable and inaccessible. It is only the divine selves of Godhead, the propounders of the divine dispensations for the different ages, who are always forward there to favor the approaching devotees who seek entry into the realm of Goloka through the channel of pure devotion. That's like the mesh surrounding Goloka Vrindavan. And if one's sentiments are not proper, then that mesh deflects them to some other location. It might be the material world. It might be someplace else in Goloka. It might even be Dwarka or Mathura. But Gopika Sutta, Nayam Sukhapho, that pleasure, Sukha, Sukhapho, Nayam Sukhapho Bhagavan, that Bhagavan giving that kind of pleasure, Gopika Sutta, is only available by this process of becoming a gopi and having a gopi body or a resident of Vrindavan. Next story. Weeks ago, I explained how we're trying to put together some programs online, and our first concept was to take a little bit from each canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and create like a two-week course, because we found that people's attention spans online and to do this not real super long. So trying to make attractive little packages where people will become attracted to hear about Krishna. So started reading the first canto and picking out different concepts, aspects of that book, which might be nice to study. And entering into Srimad Bhagavatam in that way proved to be a bit overwhelming. It's a lot of topics, and to kind of condense them is not easy. So what we've done is kind of fine-tuned the program so that 2 weeks before a particular festival, we're going to present that leela for 2 weeks. 2 weeks prior to it, you start to hear and chant about that leela, so that by the time that day comes, whoa, you're absorbed. So a month ago, we started to read about Janmashtami because it's 1 month from today. And therefore, our program starts 2 weeks from today, 2 weeks before Janmashtami. So I've been reading Krishna book, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarartha Darshani, Plus, I knew I was giving this class, and how they've interwoven and created this fabric and network and pattern is unbelievable. How there's stuff behind the veil that you never saw before. You read the book. How many times? It's 40 years been doing John Mastomy. I know the story, but yet reading it carefully in order so that you get into each topic again. Back to our original topic where we were talking about the overview of Ramananda Roy. It's kind of like a big overview, and now we're taking one little topic of Venkatabhat and Lord Chaitanya talking about why Lakshmi can't enter the Rasa dance. We're taking the whole Leela of Krishna's advent on earth and broken it down into daily meditations. That's what the program is. You read it, you read this one topic, and then you meditate it on your japa, you study the purports, hear the audio, watch the video. We're making different things that people can do. You can spend 10 minutes, you can spend 2 hours, whatever a person wants. So I want to read some of the different purports that correlate and explain and reveal the sentiments and how this process works of entering the spiritual world from the material world. Okay, the first one is, we all know the story, so I don't have to go into too much detail. When the demigods went to the ocean of milk because Mother Bhumi was feeling disturbed and burdened, and they prayed for the Lord to advent and help them because of the military buildup on earth. Then Lord Brahma received the message that the Supreme Lord will advent and all of you demigods should also go to the material world to perform the pastimes with him. So here in this purport describes, in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, the Lord says, Taktva deham punarjanma naitimam eti. After giving up the material body, the devotee of the Lord returns home, back to Godhead. This means that the devotee is first transferred to a particular universe where the Lord is at that time staying to exhibit his pastimes. There are innumerable universes, and the Lord is appearing in one of these universes at every moment. Therefore, his pastimes are called Nitya Lila, eternal pastimes. The Lord's appearance as a child in the house of Devaki takes place continuously in one universe after another. Therefore, the devotee is first transferred to that particular universe where the pastimes of the Lord are current. So yes, you can change universes. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, even if a devotee does not complete the course of devotional service, he enjoys the happiness of the heavenly planets where the most pious people dwell, and then takes birth in the house of a Suchi or Sriman, a pious Brahmin or a wealthy Vaishya. Suchinam Srimatam Dehe Gehe Yoga Brashta Bijayate. Thus, a pure devotee, even if unable to execute devotional service completely, is transferred to the upper planetary system where pious people reside. From there, if his devotional service is complete, such a devotee is transferred to the place where the Lord's pastimes are going on. Herein it is said, Sambhavantu Sura Striya. Sura Stri. The women of the heavenly planets were thus ordered to appear in the Yadu dynasty and in Vrindavan to enrich the pastimes of Lord Krishna. These Sura Stri, when further trained to live with Krishna, would be transferred to the original Goloka Vrindavan. During Lord Krishna's pastimes within this world, the Sura Stri were to appear in different ways in different families to give pleasure to the Lord, just so that they would be fully trained before going to the eternal Goloka Vrindavan. With the association of Lord Krishna, either in Dwarka, Mathura, or Vrindavan, they would certainly return home back to Godhead. Among the Sura Stri, the women of the heavenly planet, there were many devotees, such as the mother of Upendra incarnation of Krishna. It was such devoted women who were called for in this connection. I found this fascinating, that these people, and it's described very nicely also in Sarartha Darshani, there are three different groups of gopis mentioned in the Rasa dance. Main categories. Can anybody help tell who they are? Nitya Siddha, Krishna's Nitya Siddha gopis, the ones who come with him and travel with him everywhere. Second is the ones we've been reading about, the Shruti Ganas, the Shruti Charis, the ones who were personified Vedas and have now taken birth as gopis. Remember, we've discussed those over the last month. So those are the second category. Now, they're sadhana siddhas because they perfected their bhav, their sentiments for Krishna in a previous life, and now are taking birth in this earth, Bhumi Leela, where Krishna is performing his leelas to associate with the Nitya Siddhas and become more purified. And then the third category was the sages of Dandakaranya. When they saw Lord Ram, you remember that they said, oh, you know, we don't know why. We're men and you're a man, but we're attracted to you in a conjugal way. And then they cultivate this mood of a gopi, take birth as gopis, and are there in Krishna's pastimes also to associate with the Nitya Siddhas. And there's a beautiful purport which describes this by Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. Upon seeing the sweetness of Lord Ram, the sages who were worshippers of Lord Gopal immediately became elevated to the mature platform of spontaneous devotion, automatically reaching the stages of Nishta, Rupi, Ruchi, Ashakti, and Bhava. However, they had not yet attained perfection and become completely freed of all material contamination. That mesh was still going to stop them. Nevertheless, Sri Yogamaya Devi arranged for them to take birth in Gokula from the wombs of gopis and become cowherd girls. By associating with Srimati Radharani and the other perfect, eternally situated gopis, Nitya Siddhas, some of these new gopis fully manifested Purvaraga, loving attraction for Krishna, as soon as they reached puberty. Purvaraga is a type of sentiment where one is attracted even before meeting someone, simply by hearing. I guess Rukmini is a famous one we know of. When she heard about Krishna from Narada, immediately that awoke in her attraction, and she wanted to be with Krishna. When these new gopis attained direct association of Krishna, all their remaining contamination became burned up, and they achieved the advanced stages of prema, sneha, and so on. So this is a little more half an hour, 40-minute cooking of this particular topic. And before we close, I want to use that thread in our loom of tapestry today of Srila Prabhupada's experience, his desires, his sentiment for creating ISKCON. Many of us, all of us, have mixed, when you hear ISKCON, it's a mixed package. It's just not all pure. Because we're in the material world, Janmasthami gave a wonderful class the other day explaining how in one assembly there wasn't a dry eye because of the pain that devotees experience in this movement. It's due to the immaturity. It's not due to what Srila Prabhupada started. So in order to clarify and appreciate what Srila Prabhupada wanted and how he established it, and then listen to his tape and explanation of his life, even from childhood, how it manifested in his fabric and in his tapestry, it's quite interesting. These are the seven purposes. Today, it was July 13th, 1966, but this is the Tithi. He met with the lawyers, composed the legal entity, and signed it into an incorporated legal entity. A, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large, and to educate all peoples in the techniques of spiritual life, in order to check the imbalance of the values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. Two, to propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's amazing in 50 years, I mean, now when you go on, we have the internet, which we didn't have then, but, you know, some of the places where Krishna consciousness, you see a Rath Yatra, a festival. It's astounding the way it's around the entire planet. This worked. This desire, this program is successful already. And will be more so as it cooks to sweeter and sweeter. 3, to bring the members of society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, thus to develop the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel in quality of Godhood, Sri Krishna. To see each other as a pure spirit soul and encourage one another on that platform. To teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy names of God, as revealed by the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To erect for the members and society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna, which is where we're sitting right now. To bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life. With a view to achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. This was Prabhupada's plan at, what was he, 70 years old? Almost going to be 71 in another month. Astounding activity. So this little class where he's speaking about his own experiences, for me, kind of threads and weaves his life into what he did with it. It's a slideshow, Keshava, so I think if you just double-click it, it'll probably play it.
Still, there are now practically closed now, but in the evening, in the village, everyone should assemble in a place to hear messages from Mahabharata, Rama,
So, unfortunately, time inhibiting us. Another wonderful topic coming up in the Janmashtami Leela is the sentiments of Vasudeva and Devaki, Nanda and Yasoda and Kamsa. It's an amazing, fascinating story. So we invite all of you to join us. The name of the website is sadhusanghaonline.com. Just started, so it's probably not available online on probably Monday because the weekend the company I signed up with is educational software, so they don't work on the weekends. But next week it'll be in the newsletter. And the idea is to create this Sadhu Sangha at a time online. You can do it from your phone, you can do it on a tablet, you can do it on your computer, and you can do it on your own schedule. And everybody can read on their own or listen to the audios or watch the videos and then meditate, do your japa meditations. We also have a few of those daily suggested. And then go on and write and share your realizations. And the idea is to create this center of Krishna, to create the atmosphere where this, where a particular leela of Krishna becomes more and more saturated in our minds. For example, just do this one exercise and you'll find out what the experience is. The second chapter of the event of Krishna's pastimes is called Prayers by the Demigods to Devaki and the Krishna in the womb of Devaki. 16 prayers are there. Read those prayers and then write your own. See where your sentiments lie. You know, that's a good thing for everybody. It's just a good exercise to do it. Actually sit down and think about it, meditate on it, and wonder, okay, Krishna's in the womb, what would I say? Or another one that fascinated me was, I couldn't believe it. It's like they're in the prison house, they're shackled. 6 kids have been killed. The 7th one was a miscarriage. And then all of a sudden, baby Vishnu appears. What do you say? What would be your prayer? You know, read Vasudeva, read Devaki's prayers, and then consider, what would I say to Vishnu and right there in front of me? So we invite you all to do that. Oh, and if you want, online on YouTube, there's a little trailer. Just look up Sadhu Sangha Online trailer, and I think you'll come to it. So this is some of the topics on why Lakshmi Devi couldn't enter the Vasa dance and get that Sukhapho Gopika Sutta. Any questions or comments? Oh, how do you do? Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ghee Jai. Oh, Janmashtami Prabhu?
Prabhu, super good class, thank you. Regarding, you know, this, you were saying how there's different sentiments when just the word ISKCON comes up, the devotee's experience,
yes,
because of what's gone on in their own lives. One, this is a comment, but I just
that's fine.
Thought I'd throw it in.
Sure.
Like in 1987, North America changed tremendously there, and many devotees were just kind of like stunned. Well, what's going on? And I just started reflecting more and more on what had caused kind of like a major upheaval and devotees leaving, and myself, I had been for so many years selling paraphernalia, and I didn't really want to do it, but that was what I was asked to do and kind of forced to do even. It was a little bit like that, so much pressure. And but then I saw that that was probably a major causative factor, this type of service. It wasn't spiritually supportive, and many devotees became kind of disenchanted with what their lives had become. And
good
so they
point.
Wanted something else.
Excellent point. I had a similar experience. Only a little bit different, if I may just
sure.
Go into it. In 1978, Mayapur Festival, just months after Srila Prabhupada left. He left in November, we went there in February. So I stayed in Vrindavan. I didn't go back to America after Prabhupada left. And stayed there, and really, then in 1979, the new guru thing happened, and many of us in Vrindavan left and went and did our own farm project. And in 1980, I went back to a temple, to St. Louis, to a temple devotee that I had distributed books with. Prior, from 74 to 78, when I was doing that book distribution, every time I came back, the question was, how many books did you distribute? In 1981, when I came back, 1980, when I came back from the airport, the question was, how much money did you collect? So I'm agreeing with your sentiment. It's the mesh. It's sentiment. It's motive.
So then, in reflecting on it, and I saw, it's almost like 85% of the devotees that were in temples were leaving. That's an estimation. Mm-hmm. These were the temples that I was familiar with. I said, well, why? And then, is there anything that could be done about it? Because I felt that way, too. I was kind of like being pushed, to really come to a decision. So kind of what awoke in my heart was that, this is Prabhupada's movement. I felt so enlivened for so many years to be part of it, but then there's big problems now are coming. It was across the board. All of North America was heavily afflicted. So then I analyzed it, that this whole shift away from Prabhupada's emphasis that the temples be bases for preaching, for book distribution, now they'd become bases for business. So I just decided, well, let me try and do something about it. I knew how to distribute books, and if somehow or other I could help get that going again. And so this was a major discovery for me.
Wonderful.
To find a fault, find a problem, and then try to do something about it.
Right, be a positive.
Yeah, and so then the reciprocation that I personally got from Prabhupada and from Krishna was unprecedented, in my devotional career. So it was just kind of a principle that seems to be very relevant. Like Prabhupada would quote, who was it, the famous British politician, I don't know which one, but, "England, for all thy faults, I love thee." So,
Churchill?
Was it Churchill? Is it? Yeah, so it's also, and he applied this, this was analogous to the situation within ISKCON, it's just Prabhupada's body, it's, we can see the fault, but we can also see the fault in terms of what needs to be rectified, and how to do it. If we start thinking in those terms, then it's uplifting.
Right, rather than the negative.
Rather than just focusing on the negative.
Which just brings everything down and is critical. Of course, you have to acknowledge that, but then there's the positive side as well. I don't want to get too much into it and go too far out.
But the point is that it's important to see what's wrong, and really get a clear vision, and then really try to do something.
Good.
If you've got skills in that area or whatever.
Yes, I think that's all our responsibility and mission.
Right. And, the point is that the movement is expanding. There may be setbacks, but even those places where the setbacks, mm-hmm. that can be turned around,
uh-huh.
With the right consciousness and with enough utsaha.
Yes, and love. People have been hurt. People have a knee-jerk negative reaction. And that needs to be nurtured and healed, and then they can go on with a positive attitude and fine-tune our sentiments so we can love Krishna. Jai, thank you. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm.